From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
The Zulus come and call, whoop, they hit those things, and then they have monkey stew with rice. You hungry now, huh? You hungry? But isn't that us sometimes? We'll get a hold of something, and we just won't let it go, even though we know it's killing us, it's messing up our relationship with our spouse or with people. We're burning a bridge, but our pride will not allow us to let go, and we're caught in between.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Do you ever feel like the Apostle Paul? In Romans 7, he says, "It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong." Sound familiar? Well, God knew we would have struggles like that. It's part of the reason he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, "Things Not for Sale."
Would you take out your notes with me as we talk about that struggle that goes on inside of us, and how do we win that? Because we're all familiar and we can all relate to that. Well, it's great. I decided to spend my birthday with you. Isn't that nice? I can't think of a better group of people to spend my 55th with. Oh, my. But I told my wife, I said, "Honey, now we can live in those trailer parks where it says 55 only and plus, you know." So I thought, all right, get discounts. We go to McDonald's, get coffee cheaper. And I said, "But the only thing is there's a lot of changes going on in my body. I noticed my metabolism has gone on strike. My memory goes on vacation, doesn't leave a note. And, you know, just don't know." And then it used to be that we could eat anything. You could eat hot stuff, you know, chilies and anything. Wouldn't bother you. Milk products wouldn't bother you. Now it does. And if you eat hot stuff now, it tastes good. But later on, I tell you, it comes around and bites you in the behind. So no pun intended. But those things, it reminds me of this Portuguese guy. He goes to the doctor and he said, doctor, I just turned 55 years old. But the problem is every time I eat this birthday cake, I get hot burn. And the doctor said, "Mano, you got to take the candles off first." Big changes happening in our lives, you know. Used to be the Rolling Stones. Now it's the Kidney Stones. Used to be long hair, now it's longing for hair. And it used to be hoping for a good BMW. Now it's just hoping for a good BM. You may need to ask your neighbor about that one, but the favorite songs are still, the Blast from the Past songs are still my favorite songs, I tell you. Changes the meaning a little bit, but I understand them now. Like I remember Herman's Hermit's song, you know, "Mrs. Brown, you have a lovely walker." Isn't that right? That's it. Or the Trogs sing, "Bald thing, you make my eyes dim." I think that's right. Or the Johnny Nash song, I must have been after he had LASIK eye surgery. "I can see clearly now, but my memory's gone." But my favorite song of all time is still the Beatles. "I get by with a little help from Depends." Don't get me going on this now. I go all day. Well, let's take a look at some of the things that I think are going to be so important to us in the upcoming years. And this is something that's so important to me, but I've got to rehearse it, rethink it, go over it, be reminded of it again and again. But it's absolutely crucial. And at first, you'll think it has nothing to do with money, but it has everything to do with money. Nothing to do with spending, but it has everything to do with it. Nothing to do with business, but it has everything to do with business. Nothing to do with success, but it has everything to do with success. Things not for sale. In each of us, there's going to be a struggle. Struggle when you become a Christian. When you know what is the right thing to do, the right thing to say, how you should act, but you just can't do it. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's just a principle of the thing. Maybe it's just I'm angry, but I just can't throttle it back. I just can't turn it around. And you know that it's wrong, but you're caught betwixt and between, and it's so tough. It's kind of like Jonah when God says, go to Nineveh, and he decides to go the other way to Tarshish. Knowing the right thing to do, have you ever been caught in the place where you know what God asked you to do, and you do something else instead? And then in the midst of it, you're saying to yourself even, why am I doing this? But you can't stop. There's just some power struggling on the inside of you, and you're caught. Maybe again, it's just angry, or it's just a principle of the thing. And you know it's ruining your marriage, but it's a principle of the thing. And you're caught in between. You know, what am I doing? This is so stupid. But your pride will not let you go, because you got a hold of something, and it's got a hold of you. But that's one of the struggles we'll all go through. And we've got to learn how to win that. It's sort of like the monkeys, that they ring-tailed monkeys in Africa. The Zulus knew that they were kind of a delicacy, but no one could catch them because they're so agile. But what the Zulus would do is they found a way to do it. They'd get a gourd or like a coconut, and they'd drill a little hole in it, just big enough for the monkey to get his hand in it. They hollow it out, put a bunch of rice in it, cooked rice, and then they tie a rope to the bottom, to the base of the tree. And the monkeys would come out of the tree, climb down because they'd smell the rice, stick their hand in there, grab the rice. But when they make a fist, now they can't get their hand out. And they run up the tree, but it comes to the end of the rope, boing, they fall down. But they won't let go of the rice. 4 or 5 times, boing, they fall down. Up, boing, they won't let go of the rice. And then the Zulus come and call, whoom, they hit those things. And then they have monkey stew with rice. You hungry now, huh? You hungry? But isn't that us sometimes? We'll get a hold of something and we just won't let it go, even though we know it's killing us, it's messing up our relationship with our spouse or with people. We're burning a bridge, but our pride will not allow us to let go, and we're caught in between. But then if you think about it at night, you think, but I love God. I want God's best. What am I doing? And I bet Paul knew exactly, the Apostle Paul knew exactly what we were going through. Because you know what I find is a lot of times Christians mess up their lives, not because they're malicious or evil, but because we are frail and needy. And we need a power beyond what we can drum up ourselves to overcome that fight. We need something that's bigger than we are, a power that's stronger than what we can conjure up on our own. God, we need that help to be free from that wrestling match, free from all of that stuff. And God, who is the author of freedom, gives us help. But first, let's see what Paul says, and you'll see that it's not something new. We all will wrestle with that. Let's read at the top of our notes together. Would you read it with me out loud? Go. I am sold into slavery with sin as my master. I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate, but I can't help myself. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave. Romans chapter 7. Boy, I can relate to that. And that happens in every single one of us. Is there any help? Can God give us a power bigger than what we can drum up? Because we need something greater than that to be free from that wrestling match that seems to master us again and again and again. And then in the end, we think, man, this is not the life I want to live. I want God's best, but somehow I lost the battle. I love God. Lord, can you give me a strength greater than what I can drum up on my own? And instead of deprecating or demeaning or devaluing us for our frailty, God instead loves us so much because he's our creator. He gives us a gift. What? In the midst of our frailty? Yeah. The gift is found in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And let's read about this beautiful gift together. Go. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. You will receive what? Circle that word, power. That's a Greek word, dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. A power, an explosion, an ability, a capacity, a capability, bigger than what that little cylinder seems to hold. It's huge, far greater. God says, in your own ability, I'm going to give you a power far greater than that, a dunamis. I'm going to give you a power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay, what's the power for? That you shall be my what? Would you underline that phrase? To be my witnesses. Reason that's so important, listen very carefully, is because the word witness means, it's the Greek word marturios, where we get the word martyr from. Did you know what he's saying? And hold on before you draw any conclusions, but he says that I'm going to give you a power, the power to be a martyr. Say, you mean to just lay down your life? Sort of. But not a dead martyr. Romans 12 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Yeah. A sacrifice, nevertheless, but a dead one? No, a living one. So what is the Holy Spirit given to us for? To give us power. For what? So that we will be able to lay down our lives. Why? Let me tell you one of the greatest gifts you'll receive. And it can be, at the same time, your greatest curse. That gift is free will. Your right to even reject your Creator. You see, God has given that gift, that right of free choice, of free will, to only this part of His creation made in His image. You take a look at all the rest of His creation, all the other living things, whether it be animals or plant life or anything else, they really don't have that free will as much as man does. Basically, they're hardwired with instinct, and their migration patterns, their eating habits, and their reproductive patterns are all the same basically from day one. They just kind of do the same thing, and that's why people say, well, these birds have migrated this way for thousands of years. But mankind, he's given free will to actually better himself or destroy himself. He's given you and me free will to advance or to retreat, to bring peace or to bring war. Free will could be our greatest gift or our greatest curse. Now, this free will that God has given to us, here is the most volatile part of all, is that He allowed man to use free will to even reject his own Maker. And you see that all over the world today. That free will. Now, that'll destroy us spiritually, not necessarily physically, because you can live as an atheist or someone who rejects God, but it will destroy you for eternity. And sometimes we choose the impermanence of life, this life here on this earth, for eternity. And we think it's fine. And so God gives us free will, and then we use it to reject our own Maker. And sometimes that even takes place in our own hearts as Christians, where we know the right thing to do, but we have a will that's stubborn within us. And in our actions or our attitudes, we actually reject what the Maker is saying to us. Because we know it's not right. We know it violates God, but we just can't stop ourselves. I need a power greater than what I have so that I can override that. It's that old story, Pinocchio. Geppetto is the one that's carving this little boy out of this tree. And lo and behold, when he carves an arm, boop, the arm starts to move around. Quickly, he carves his head and his eyes and boop, boop, his eyes open. And he thinks, well, this is amazing. And he carves one of the legs, and his leg starts moving around. And he turns around to pick up another tool. And when he does, Pinocchio's freed leg, boom, kicks him in the behind. And he turns around, and he says something really profound. He says, I'm not even done making you, and you're already a rebellious child. I'm not even done creating you, and you're already a rebellious child. And I thought, man, that's us. Because we use that free will. As soon as we think we got our right to do whatever, bang, we can reject even the one who created us. And when that happens, there's a war. And many Christians live with that war on the inside of them till the day they go home to eternity. And it causes such an inconsistency of life and bridges burned because we make dumb decisions and later on we think, why did we do that? That's not what I want. But who will free me from this power that seems to keep me in its grasp? God saw that and he said, I'm going to give you the greatest power of all. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you can be a living martyr. What is it? What is it? Let me tell you, first thing is this. The Holy Spirit comes upon us to give us the power. The power to do what? Listen very carefully. The power to lay down our right to override God. Because see, we've got that right. But I need a power greater than myself. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he says, I'm going to give you the power to die to the right to override God. I said, oh, please help me to do that so that I don't have to wrestle and debate with God and fight and get pulled by the enemy. I want to be free from that. Then the Holy Spirit's going to be given. And if you will accept his assignment, he will give you the power to lay down your right to override God anymore. Do you understand the freedom that comes? When I don't have to worry about that, I get rid of all of the fighting, all the debating. All of it. You know why? Because here, would you write it number one? You know what's not for sale? The most important thing? Your will is not for sale. Your will is not for sale. Because you see, what's going to happen is your will for many years, you know, in the before Christ days, your BC days, the days before Christ came in, guess what ruled supreme in my life? My will. Whatever I wanted to do, I'd do. Nobody can tell me I'm a free person. I thought that was called freedom. And I have a wrong definition of freedom. But I just run with it because perception can be as dangerous as fact if you believe a false perception. And I thought, well, that's what free is. I can do whatever I want. And sure, my flesh or my lust or the pornographic kinds of things of the world or marketing ideas or keeping up with the Joneses or you know, some babe or whatever would all lobby for my will. And so your will would be being pulled and then it would succumb to something of the flesh. But basically, I will to do, I want to do whatever I want to do. My will reigns supreme. And I couldn't even override the lobbying of my flesh. I was influenced by it. But now, what happens when the captain of my soul comes into my heart and I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior? Now, no longer does my will reign supreme, but his lordship reigns supreme. And if I'm not able to lay down my right to override him, there will be internal fighting all the time. And you know what the Bible says? Your will win. Because God's not fighting with us. We either trust him and submit to him, but if we choose to win, you will win, but it'll be the saddest victory you'll ever receive. And so I need a power beyond myself to help me lay down my will or my right to override God. And when the Holy Spirit comes in and gives me that ability, whew, Lord, reign supreme. And there's a freedom. Because you see, here's what freedom is. Freedom is not defined as all those things I can do whenever I want to. No. Freedom is really defined as all those struggles I don't have to struggle with anymore. I'm freed from that. You understand? And when you get that freedom, not based on a devil's deception, but on the Word of God, the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will what? Set you free. I am free from all of that stuff. I just don't want to be wrestling and debating with God or with the enemy. And the Lord says, and the only way is you'll need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to lay down your right once and for all to override God. I don't want to do that anyway, but I just need power to do that because, man, I often do, but I hate it. God says, then I'll give you the power. Now you say, well, but if you lay down your will, won't you be like this prison kind of person all bound up? You think Jesus was bound up? He's the author of freedom. And listen to what the Lord himself says, or said about the Lord. Let's read these scriptures here under that number one. Would you read the first one out of John 6? Go. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who... Yeah, Jesus said, I have no will of my own except that which the Father has given to me. My will is the Father's. Oh, do you know why there was such a freedom and a power and an assurance and a confidence and a support from heaven? Let's read the next one. Go. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It's sort of like this. In the Navy, you have an executive officer or an XO. When the captain is not on the ship, the executive officer or the XO calls all the shots. He kind of rules the roost. But when the captain comes on board, the XO's responsibility changes. He doesn't call the shots at that point. His whole role changes to carrying out the wishes and the commands of the captain without debate, without wrestling, without struggle, without question. He carries it out, and his role is to take the commands of the captain and make sure it's followed through with the crew. And the same thing is true with our will. Before the captain of our souls entered, my will ran the ship. But when the captain of our souls, Christ himself, comes in and we receive him as Lord and Savior, something has to happen with my will, the XO. It is now to carry out the will of my Father. That's it. No other responsibility. Do you have the ability to do that? Not in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to lay down our right to override God. And when that happens, I can't tell you what a grand freedom comes into your life. And that's why I've said it before, say it again. The older I get, the more I realize that I have less and less a vote on the matter. And freedom comes. And God is saying, and people who understand this power of the Holy Spirit in our lives will be called his children. Let's read the next one here, Matthew 12, go. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister. Yeah. So the power of the Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we have the strength to lay down our right to override God. Because that's free will. You can, but I don't want that. I want his will in my life. And it's going to require something much greater than I can conjure up. So the Holy Spirit has been given. That's his sole assignment. Sometimes we look at this classic Pentecostal phrase, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We think of it as, well, that power, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's just because of the gifts. You know, we can receive gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, like miracles and faith and tongues and prophecy. That's a part of what the Holy Spirit has come to give us. But his primary reason is to give me the power to lay down my right to override God and his commands. I'm going to need more help than what I got on my own. No, it'll include gifts, but that's the main one. If you don't understand that, then you can be a Pentecostal, but you will see even Pentecostals in the newspaper falling to immorality and all kinds of avarice and all kinds of weird stuff. And you think, now that's the dumbest thing to fall for. How come that happened? Because somewhere their will overrode God's commands. How did that happen? You see, you can be all filled with gifts, but if you misunderstand the power of the Holy Spirit and why he's been given to us, you'll wrestle with God whenever push comes to shove, and you'll never be free.
You have been listening to part one of a message entitled Things Not For Sale by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast.
We invite you to visit our online store for more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. His books, music, messages, the life journal we at New Hope follow. Go to enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. Your purchase will strengthen you in your Christian walk, and it will also support the ministry of New Hope as we take the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the resources tab.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.